Personnel Administration Legislation Committee meeting Monday, January 14th, 2019.
Okay, I'd like to call to order the Board of Supervisors Personnel Administrative Legislation Committee for Monday, January 14th. We'll start with a federal update.
Good afternoon, it's Emily. Today marks the 24th day of the partial government shutdown, making it the longest shutdown in history. House Majority Leader Cindy Hoyer has said the House will not recess next week if the government remains shut down. Both the House and Senate are supposed to be in recess next week for the Martin Luther King break. So we'll see what happens. I don't think any of us thought we'd be at this point. Even last week, you know, it looked like the president was heading towards declaring a national emergency, which basically would have allowed kind of a pathway to pass these appropriations bills. He's now backing off of that. Negotiations really have stalled in the last week, and there's been no communication over the weekend. So the House continues to pass individual appropriations bills that the Senate originally passed last year in a bipartisan fashion. The House Democrats were hoping to use this strategy as a way to entice moderate Republicans to support those bills. But Republican leadership has successfully kept the caucus together against these bills. No more than 12 Republicans have voted in favor of any of those bills last week. You know, we'll see as kind of the crisis grows if they'll be able to hold these Republicans together and what may happen. But as of now, you know, kind of no movement forward. And Mitch McConnell, Majority Leader on the Senate side, has been saying even though the House continues to pass these bills, he will not take any of them up unless he's assurances from the president that he will sign. So I wish I had more encouraging news, but we really are at a stalemate right now. The other thing that the House plans to pick up this week is the Disaster Supplemental Appropriations Bill. This is something that they tried to attach at the end of last year to deal with the California wildfires and some of the hurricanes that devastated the Southeast in the fall. It totaled $12.1 billion. We expect legislation to easily pass the House, but I do think that the Senate probably will not take it up until they've reached a deal on the larger government shutdown. We do anticipate the Senate will take up the legislation, likely in the next month or so, but again, I think they'll deal with the government shutdown before they take that up. One thing that both the House and Senate did pass last week, they approved a bill to provide compensation to federal employees that are affected by the shutdown. So President Trump is expected to sign the legislation ensuring that these federal employees will receive back pay for those that have been impacted. And of course, the first paycheck that people have missed would have gone out this past Friday. The Senate is focusing this week on cabinet nominations and hearings. Tomorrow, the Judiciary Committee is holding a hearing on the nomination of William Barr to be the next Attorney General. Barr will likely not receive any Democratic votes, but can be confirmed without bipartisan support. Republicans now have a two-seat majority on the Judiciary Committee, and swing vote Senator Flake has retired, making it easier for Republicans to move the nomination through the committee. Only a simple majority is needed to confirm him on the floor. And then the Senate EPW Committee will hold a nomination hearing for Andrew Wheeler to be the next administrator of the EPA. He currently serves as acting administrator, and he has been confirmed by the Senate as the EPA deputy in April of 2018 on a vote of 53-45. We expect his nomination will move, you know, easily through the Senate as Republicans increase their margin in the midterm. So that's really it. Again, as soon as we see a sort of breakthrough, you know, we'll let you guys know, but that's the report for this week.
Okay, are there any questions? Go ahead.
Emily, can I just ask you to keep us posted on anything you hear regarding when funding streams will dry up for some of the safety net programs the county administers? So SNAP, WIC, I know that at the state level they're getting updates, but if you guys hear anything, please let us know as well.
Absolutely, and it looks like for SNAP, USDA, I think last week said they felt like they would have funding for February. But we have been monitoring it, and we'll keep you posted if we see any changes.
Thank you.
Okay, is there anything else? Okay, state update.
So, hi, this is Monica Miller. How is everyone today?
Very good.
Happy Monday. Just wanted to briefly bring you up to date on the California state budget. As you know, it was released on Thursday. Governor Newsom is very engaged, hour and 45 minutes, press conference where he actually presented everything. No big surprises in terms of what he's focusing on, early childhood education, working with counties on IHFS. We were very happy to see that. The reopener report also was released on Thursday, which we have sent out to your staff for them to take a look at it. Received briefings this morning from both Diane Cummings and Keely Bosner, who are head of the Department of Finance and the number two. On terms of where they're going, again, they reiterated this is not a one-year budget, it's a four-year budget. 86.4% of this budget that are non-Prop 98 are one-time augmentations, which is highly unusual. Under Governor Brown, he's not a fan of one-time augmentations. However, the goal from their perspective, from Governor Newsom and Department of Finance, is to come up with mechanisms in which to pay for these programs in perpetuity. And quite frankly, I hate to say it this way, but to get a lot of people that are impoverished to the starting line the way LBJ did, really focused on CalWORKs, increasing grants to parents with children that are in college. That's a big deal. Paying for the second year of community college, so community college could potentially be free. That's a big deal. Looking at the transportation funding, as you saw, is tied to the RENA numbers. Potentially, that's what they'd like to do. No details yet as of what that will look like. However, they want to down stakeholders. They want to provide HCD some teeth in that law. I know that's something that you are looking forward to and it will be beneficial to your community, which is great. CSAC has taken a pretty strong opposed position to that. It was a very lengthy discussion this morning. So we'll see as that unfolds. We'll continue to keep you posted. That was also brought up at the Cal Chamber lunch, which was held today. So in terms of what that looks like and a whole revamping of the RENA numbers, one thing that was emphasized is if the county does not come up with a mechanism in which to build those housing units that are required by them, by HCD, they won't lose the funds, they will just withhold the funds and then incentivizing counties to work with their cities and others to get those housing numbers up and running, then those funds will be released. So there's not going to be reallocation, but that's something we're going to want to watch closely as well, particularly as bills get introduced in the legislature and trailer bill language. So that's where we are right now. I don't know if there's any questions specific.
What was the legislative response to his budget? Or did they make a response?
I think overall, they liked it. Both Speaker Rendon and Pro Tem Atkins this morning spoke about tax increases. They're concerned about, both are concerned about tax increases, but the Senate is more inclined to have tax increases to try and offset some of these costs, but the Assembly, Speaker Rendon seems a lot more tighter with the purse string. So, but I think overall it's a good budget. It's a budget that paid off a lot of our debt. The thought being is, and paid back PERS, it was $3 billion, STERS, 2.1, I believe, was the dollar amount. Actually wrote some checks or plans to get them out of the bailout because they know they can go back and borrow those funds. So we paid into our rainy day fund the amount they were supposed to pay, and now they're trying to beef up our budget resilience, what they called it, and that's something that they're very focused on. And they're also really focused on the middle class, and that's something that has not been previously a big discussion, and I think that's where we're going to need Pro Tem Atkins that and others, because that's something that they wanted to. And also, quite frankly, the transportation, as you know, is a huge issue for local communities, but making sure that you provide housing where people have access to transportation so they can get to their jobs, et cetera. So, and I think homelessness is going to be another huge issue. They really highlighted that in their budget. not only providing housing, but they're calling them navigation centers so you can get the wraparound services, which we know if you don't have those wraparound services, there's no point in housing them because they're not getting the help that they need. So I think there's going to be just a huge fundamental shift with this governor and with this administration that we haven't seen in a while because Governor Brown is still focused on getting us out of debt. So, and they are being very mindful of, 10 years of prosperity, we could potentially very quickly go into a recession. They think it would be more like the 2000-2001 recession, not the 2008-2009 recession. So they are preparing for that. They think it'll be about a $70 million hit over 3 years, if and when we go into it. So being very mindful of long-term planning, sustainable planning. This governor is very committed to housing when he got a little pushback this morning from CSAC. Diane Cummins said, make no mistake, this governor knows housing and he's going to push very hard for it. So, and again, there's also a willingness, a push on his end to have cities and counties work together, not just work in silos.
Okay.
I think this is Doug. And the other thing that I would add is that I think we're seeing a little bit of his, it's a different leadership style emerging. Not only did we have almost the two-hour budget press conference where he got into the weeds and said many times that, he loves this stuff, he was trying to make an effort throughout the press conference to show some engagement with the legislature already. He was specifically calling out legislators there who were in the crowd that he had worked with, including Senator Mitchell, of course, the chair of Senate, the Senate Budget Committee, Superintendent of Public Instruction, Tony Thurman. Like, he was really making an effort to call those folks out. So we're just starting to see some of that different leadership style emerge here.
Okay, great. So any questions, comments? Okay, so we have the 2019-20 legislative platform. I think the latest iteration is 11-1 at 4 p.m. There's been a lot of them. So are there any, this was looked at once already.
Correct, yes.
Right, and then some stuff was added.
Some other technical edits.
These have we incorporated the technical edits that we got between last meeting and now. We also accepted some rewording or reclarification things, and those are highlighted in the document. There were a few things that few edits that we did not accept, as we deemed them to be overly specific, repetitive, or already included.